Welcome to the Growler, a Hootay podcast hosted by Paul Dana and other bald friends like Mo Egger, Dave Nanamets, home of all your Bengals breaks, takes. Welcome to the Growler.
Thank you. Thank you very much to the Bengal boys for pointing out that we're all bald and we have things to say. And that's really,
it's kind of
our whole thing. I mean, that's really who we are at our core.
I was sad that we weren't going to have the voicemail name message thing anymore on there. But after hearing that, I'm really cheered up.
Yeah. You get to use your name as part of the song now and not clearly edit it in because you're just the stepdad.
It was so great, though.
Yeah.
It was so great. Now, I did really like the Peaches and Herb reunited.
Yeah.
But see, Dave's got stats on that. I was curious. I remember reunited, but I went back and looked, and it turned out there was one Herb. There were 7 different Peaches.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He went through a lot of Peaches. And I'm like, is he just singing about being reunited with each of them? Because he seems to move on to another one. This is why I'm an Ashford and Simpson guy.
Yeah. I think Peaches is a flight risk. And Herb's got problems with commitment. Yeah. I think that's what this is about. It's about Herb's commitment issues at its core, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever good enough for you.
No.
All right? But that said, how great is it?
How great is it
to have Peaches and Herb and Paul and Jay? And I'm excited about the Mark Shalafoe show, Hootay Light, and the big launch happened today. And It's all out there now. No more little secrets. No more little dropping notes in here. Oh, gonna be a thing. What's the big thing? No more of that. We can spike. Here it is. Here's the big deal.
Yep.
Very excited. But you know, I mean, we still have plenty of Bengals to talk about. And there's a lot going on. And so we're going to get to that. Mo's going to be on here on the show, even though we're the Growler now. Really, this is the one that you're familiar with over the last season. All this is kind of the same. It's me and Dave and Mo coming in and doing our thing. And we just enjoyed it so much. I was like, that's not going anywhere. I don't want to lose that. I mean, we've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah. Can't get rid of that. Now you put me on video. I don't think people deserve that.
Yeah,
but
they're like, huh?
Yeah,
I thought he was gonna look more crusty.
Yeah, no, I'm crusty. They're like, hey, Bull from Night Court's on this show.
Yes, that's right. You are Bull from Night
Court. One of our bald icons.
Yeah, I mean, a legend. Is there a bald Hall of Fame?
Should be.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
one for us. One for us.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah. I was hoping that we could just get a picture of Dan Horde to go with us and it could be Four Bald Territory as the name, you know, but I'm happy with Balds Don't Lie. It's okay.
Don't overdo it.
Yeah. All right. So that's what's going on. Y'all know this. Subscribe, please. You can go to thegrowlerpodcast.com and there's links there. But look, just the Growler on anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, YouTube. You can find us on Spotify, you name it, wherever you go, it's all there. The Growler, you can find us. And please subscribe, tell your friends that we've moved. We're no longer in the Hear That Podcast Growling feed. So if someone was looking for us there, just the farewell's up there now. So you got to move over. This is the button you had to press. This was the hard part. You knew you could do it. So you're pressing buttons now. And we appreciate having you here. Listen to us. Tell your friends to press a button too. Let's talk Bengals. We're going to get into free agency here in a little bit with Mo. I want to get one last little bit of combine talk. The episodes are up kind of reviewing some of that stuff with Jay and with Mark too already now. So you can listen to those, but this is going to kind of flip it forward as we get into free agency, but one last more on the players side, cause we had the rest of that this weekend. I want to touch on that stuff. But before I do that, was at the Joe Burrow fundraiser yesterday. Not a fundraiser. It was really a charity. It was an event at La Soupe, which they're doing incredible stuff with the Burrow Foundation. And Guinness was there as a sponsor. They put this whole thing together and gave $500,000 to the Burrow Foundation. How about that?
Awesome.
So Joe was there. He poured soup out of a ladle without hesitation. I was gonna post video, but Twitter people gauging his ladling technique. So I can do a ladling technique.
Yeah,
like that. But it looked strong. He was using his right hand comfortably. I know that's what you're wondering. Like, enough charity talk. How'd he look with the wrist? shook his hands with his right hand.
Will you have a sympathy ladle by chance? Like you had the sympathy knee brace last year?
Yeah, the sympathy knee brace. Yeah, I have a ladle. I can keep it up here. I mean, I'm happy to pour soup.
I think it would make people feel better.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah. So it was an incredible function. All that money raised and all the some of the money they've already raised allowed La Soupe to get one of the freezer vans, the giant freezer vans, and they ship food every week up to Athens and back. And they're able to do so much more here locally with that in just getting more food to more people. They're going directly through the schools up there as points to get to these families. And it's like really changing the lives of Fitz. You see it happening. It's like, okay, people raise money. People give $9 to the Burrow Foundation when he has a good game. A bunch of people do it. You hear about the numbers, and then you hear like, no, here's all the people whose lives are now changed by this stuff. Like, it works, man. And it's cool to see it and what Burrow's doing. He eventually, after it was all over, ended up talking a little bit with Ben Baby ESPN, had a thing that him projecting to mid-May for his throwing return, right around the time you get into OTAs and stuff like that. So you can expect to see that. That makes sense. The one thing that was out there about this day, though, is something that this is going to be I'm going to call this, we got a couple don't take the bait segments.
Yeah.
There's a Twitter doc out there who had a big long post about how this is going to leave Joe at 80% and his career is altered and for sure, lots of stuff. Let me just say, from asking around about this, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Now, that's not to say there aren't concerns about this injury. It's rare for a professional quarterback to have, yada yada. You knew all this. You've reacted to all of this. Just know, don't go freaking out about Twitter doc guy. Okay.
Yeah.
That is, there's not a lot of people who are being like, yep, that dude's solid up. It's up and up right there. Solid up and up, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we tried to go through that with the calf, and I know, you talk to experts about it, but it seems to me that unless you're the doctor dealing with it, like firsthand, pardon the pun, you don't know. So if somebody's just piecing it together on Twitter, but it's easy to get people worked up. So it's all about engagement, Paul. It's all about engagement.
It is. I mean, then when at the end of a 500 word individual Twitter post, it goes into how you're trying to make money for yourself.
Yeah.
Yikes, man. I think it was just as self-serving as it looked. So just keep that in mind. Again, this is not me saying, everybody, it's all good. Everything's going to be fine. There's a long way to go. There's a lot of process to still go through, and you still want to see Joe actually out there throwing. There's going to be concerns about how this affects his accuracy as he builds up over time. That's part of getting your wrist fully stable again. I'm sure we'll have to talk about hand size again at some point.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm excited about, but just remember all of that everything does appear to be fine as far as rehab, timelines, process, all of those things that we've kind of been talking about with this. So no reason for major concern there. Despite some of that that's out there and Burrow himself talking about mid-May. Is the timeline that's out there. And I can just, you can hear the Bengals like strength conditioning rehab and coaching staff being like, Joe, no timelines. Do you remember the AJ Green debacle?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just don't. Timelines are just the coach and staff's arch enemy, man. They just, nobody wants to feel like they're held to something, especially with an injury like once this. Because then if it gets to June 1st, it's like, no. So anyway.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Everybody keep will that freak out.
Oh, well, I mean, come on now. It's what we do. It's what we're here for. That's our content. That's going to build this podcast, Dave.
Let's start speculating now. He's not going to make
speculation season is our new second segment. No, it's not. I do want to talk a little bit about some of the players. Dave, were you hooked? Were you hooked on men in shorts?
I wasn't. Yeah. I hate to admit, and I know we're going to get into a few of the guys here and what I did see, you know, some guys definitely raised their stock. But so much of it's just so silly to me. I know what they're doing and they need to do it, but we need to get into Xavier Worthy, don't we?
Well, I don't know that Bengals fans want to get into Xavier Worthy because you know what comes next.
Yeah.
It's impossible. You know, everyone gets excited and starts thinking about, oh, look at that raw speed. I mean, maybe Bengals fans are the only ones who are like, nope, 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 nope.
Once you have John Ross PTSD, you don't come back from it. Yeah.
Don't take the bait.
I mean, you look at that list of the dudes who have had the highest scores, which Schefter put one out, and he totally missed our guy DJ Turner on that. I think he should have been in the middle of it. Like, Chris Johnson's the only one that was truly outstanding. You know, you got some guys like Reek Woolen and guys like that are good. We don't know what would have happened with Henry Ruggs. Straight line speed's great, but, you know, there's a lot of guys who haven't been on that list that were a hell of a lot better.
You got to be a polished route runner. You've got the start and stop is so much more important than the true top end. No one's going to say it's bad to have speed. Like, no one's watching Tyreek Hill and saying, man, he runs so fast. That's bad. No, what makes him great is the stop and start and the change of direction and the fact that you just can't keep up with that. And then he accelerates so quickly in and out of that stuff, having a handle on that. That's why some of the more overall explosive stuff I get more interested in, and I think can be more, I sort of penned it as, you know, more verifiers than amplifiers. You know, that's mostly what it is with these guys. Cause if it's when it doesn't match up, but when you do look at, you know, like I would look at from the receiver side, Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, his overall body of work was just so uber explosive everywhere. And he has the production that looks like that.
Yeah.
You know, all the touchdowns, and everyone's focusing on the other side on Malik Nabers for good reason, but everyone did the same thing with Jamar Chase and what was happening with Justin Jefferson. I'm not going to say that Nabers and Thomas are going to be Jefferson and Chase. That's not fair to anyone. However, you can certainly see how you could have parallels in that direction where that guy still put up all those numbers and is that kind of an athlete, makes plays, toughness, wins. I think he maybe vaulted himself back into that conversation if he's there in that mid-teens range where the Bengals and some of their other teams are going to be picking.
Yeah.
Not that he wasn't before necessarily, but like really kind of solid after that.
I've always been a big believer that if you've shown you can do it with your numbers, now granted, you have guys that just have inflated stats through college and you have to be able to weed that out. But there's something that's something that needs to be remembered when we're going through this part of the process, is we can get enamored with the traits and the skills these guys have, but did they apply it on the field? And when they did and they put up the big numbers and then you see the traits, then those are guys you really got to take a close look at. So, no, I totally agree with you on that. I didn't watch that closely of each guy, but that rises more to me than just a dude who put up a good 40 time. But that's like the fancy, big, fun thing to get excited about.
Yeah, and I get it. Some of the other stuff, you know, the explosiveness, I pay a lot more attention. The RAS, I mean, relative athletic score, we talk a ton about that. We've talked to Math Bomb here for years. He has a great mustache. it's a great tool. And I know, and they use it. They at least, you know, sporadically use it to kind of good for comparisons over years, kind of in an equal playing field with different types. And I think that's very helpful. But I think someone to put kind of one number on a compilation, there's different things you should care about for different positions, different things that are more correlative. And that's where I want to get into the tight end freak shows, which is there. That's kind of like, that's your RAS 7, you know, that there's just so much proof, that find your freak shows with the traits, that have shown that they can do it some on the field, and maybe they're underused somewhere. Maybe they weren't in the right offense. And that's why there's been such a disconnect between draft slot and stardom at that position. Is just so, it's such a projection. And quite often you see the projection being tied to just this freakish athleticism. And so, you know, your winners there. I mean, Theo Johnson from Penn State. What is Penn State is just the same thing last year with Brenton Strange, and they're just that is just some freakish stuff. I mean, every single metric, he is top of the line, top. Great stuff from him. Tep Ryman from Illinois, Benson from Kansas State, but all of those guys getting into that range of overall athleticism that teams really desperately want to see when they take those flyers, whether it be day two, day three, wherever.
For those who are paying close attention, particularly on tight ends, do you think if they watch that closely and saw these guys, they maybe cool off a little bit about Brock Bowers and think we can get a dude later who can be a difference maker? Or do you think the Brock Bowers hive will continue to be buzzing out there?
I don't think the Brock Bowers hive's going anywhere. I mean, he's a great player. To me, the only thing that puts a little water on the hive. Wait, would that piss the bees off?
Probably.
What makes them the least mad?
I don't know. I think wrapping
the whole hive in bubble wrap.
I had some in my backyard and ran them over with a mower last year. They did not care about that. They got me.
You got to be careful with hives.
Yeah.
Just in general. So maybe the thing that makes me run away from the hive or go inside into my screened in porch is it's not anything about Brock Bowers. It's just about belief in the position and the history at the position.
Yeah.
And that's strictly what it is. Been so many great players who people are like, can't miss top 10. And they just don't. And he looks great. And when you use generational just a couple years after Kyle Pitts made that word, I go out of style. And TJ Hockenson and it's fine. And even Eifert. I mean, it's cool. I see it. It's just the history of it. It's not that I don't believe in Brock Bowers and that he can't make it work. It's just the history of the position and the time it takes. And the clear disconnect that often happens between college and pro. That said, I love watching Brock Bowers tape.
Yeah.
I could see how if he did that in the Bengals offense, you get it. It all makes sense.
I don't see him dropping that far anyhow, and I don't see them trading up to get him. But from what you're saying, you see guys that can be difference makers at tight end. And I guess the next question of that is this team ready to commit to going and getting that guy since they've been doing the patchwork thing the last few years?
Yeah, I am just still hesitant to think that they're going to invest in tight end in the top of this draft.
Yeah.
I think that if it makes sense, I mean, there's scenarios certainly where it makes sense. I mean, if they have him in the top 10 and the board clears and he's the fringe top 10 on their board, Bengal board, and he's the guy, then he's the guy. And I think there's scenarios where you could have seen that, whether it was, we know they were loving Kincaid last year and he didn't make it to them. So maybe we would have seen that. And maybe Bowers is this year's version of that. I just don't know that for sure. It's not impossible. I'm not drawing a line through it. I just, they're gonna devalue it slightly for more premium positions, especially when they have needs at those premium positions directly, significant ones. Yeah. So, and you have all of these tackles, man, they just solidified themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, you get, and we're not even knowing what's happening in the interviews, where it's like, did any of these guys wow them to the point that they're sold on them now, you know? And so we'll see. I will say this, the receivers as well. And we, you know, talking about this with the whole deal, about Xavier Worthy, you know, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall from Florida. I wonder if they took them out of the Bengals range, McConkey in particular. And he was a guy that was mocked to the Bengals first. And in that second round by Dane, the first mock that he did. Yeah. And that feels like an impossible stretch at this point.
Yeah.
That's one of those where trading back would be how you would end up with him. It seems like, I mean, and you never know, but he just seems to have everything now and just has, he just looks different out there. The inside outside type, maybe Pearsall comes into their equation, but he might've taken them out of the third round position and moved himself up where they couldn't get him there just because of his total freak show of athleticism and some of his production and his Senior Bowl and stuff like that.
Well, that's the funny thing about doing the early mocks is like so many of these guys shuffle around. I think at one point you even kind of showed the ranges of where guys go, and you know, this is kind of that first step, and we'll get pro days where guys will move up. It's easy to say a guy's going to, like Ladd McConkey's a good example. It's easy to say he was going to go second round a month ago, but now we're seeing that no, he might be better than that. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out though. I think because the Bengals have various key needs, it kind of interestingly leaves them a lot of different ways to go. But as you had pointed out in your column you wrote yesterday, that they almost seem kind of uneasy at that spot. And I know you and Jay talked about it, but 18 puts them in kind of a weird spot where there can be really good players, but it's also that line of demarcation they talked about, that it's like, who are you going to get there?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's a very weird spot. The amount of talk about, you know, and we, you know, Jay and I joked about Frank spilling the beans on maybe there's only 12. I've heard some debates that say there's only 12. Okay. We know what circles you're talking in. I think also that was not, I mean, I heard that multiple times, but maybe that changed. You know, that does tend to change some when you start getting into the actual, okay, we know these people better, and you're, and okay, that person is making him go from whatever second level to blue chip, like move the grade up, make him switch him from 2A to 1C because that interview was off the charts. And that's the type of thing that matters to them. You know, Orlando Brown had a tweet this weekend saying that, you know, for offensive line scouting, mental is just as important as the physical when scouting O-line. I'm only tweeting this because I'm slow as shit, which I think is great. But that checks out with something that's kind of been a common theme when we talk to some of the Bengals staff and scouts and stuff. In that, look, that is maybe a bigger part of why they've missed.
Mm-hmm.
Is because they have not been paying enough attention or not done a good enough job of identifying the people and the work hard. Can we just call this the Cordell Carmen corollary? Can that work?
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not. It's a whole corollary, I think, where it's, that's what it is. It's the physical traits, but didn't have, or you could call it the Obwehi line. I don't care what you call it, where that was what was cited in retrospect, was that there was never that extra. Whereas the guy maybe who doesn't have quite as much, but has kind of been about all the right stuff and gelled with the group better and all of that type of stuff. And there's different cases when you look, but that's the most recent one that really played out before their eyes. And I think leaning into that more appropriately could maybe help them hit and be more confident when you look at all of these tackles that are sitting there at 18 and say, you know what, he's our guy. He didn't make the top 10 because he wasn't in that top tier three or four because he wasn't quite as freaky physically, but he's pretty physically freaky. He's kind of freaky. And he's got all of this, you know, personality stuff that with the group that we know we have, because you have that continuity up front, should mesh in well. And maybe that helps them better understand. Maybe they are self-scouting how they've done this, and everyone's asking them, begging them to reevaluate how you pick these offensive linemen. It hasn't gone well. Maybe that's more what it is, and maybe that shows up at 18.
If that's the case, though, wouldn't that be kind of weird if they're not doing that on the offensive line? Because in so many other positions, they've picked team captains, four-year starters. They kind of look for a certain type of guy at other positions. But it seems like that's, from what you're saying, is kind of missing in the process for offensive line.
It's a matter of what you'll accept. You know, when you start ticking off traits that you love them to have all 10, well, okay, you're at this point in the draft. Now he's only got 8. Which two are you willing to deal with? And I think they got to recognize there's got to be more of the physical stuff you're willing to give up on and just trust that some of the other, you know, the more like Orlando Brown says, the mental part is a bigger part of the evaluation than anything, because maybe sometimes you're slow like him. On that note, let's bring in our good friend and yours, Mo Egger, here into the podcast. Mo, what's up, buddy?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing excellent. Yeah. It's good to have you here on the Growler, the debut for us.
Congratulations on the new podcast, which right now feels a lot like the old podcast. But it's got a different name.
There's new logos.
Wow.
Yeah, you're on screen now. You're doing the YouTubes.
There's some video to this, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
None of us like that. That's why this show is called Balds Don't Lie, because it really focuses
on the
fact that we're all... Yeah, there you go. There you go. I think you got to go. We have to go hatless here to pull off this show.
Sure.
No
problem.
Yeah. But appreciate you sticking with us as we move over here.
Of course.
You're right. Nothing really changes for us. I'll be on ESPN 1530 tomorrow from 3 to 4.
That's right.
We'll keep doing this. We're on Mondays now, so that's different.
Yeah.
Right? Earlier into the week. Are you a Monday morning? Are you a Monday morning guy? Do you get excited or are you,
I'm not a Sunday scaries guy.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would struggle to say that I'm a Monday morning guy.
All right.
Like Sunday isn't ruined for me. If you have Sunday scaries, find a new profession.
Yeah.
If it's going to ruin your weekend, oh my God, I've got to go to work. But that said, there is a part of me that when I wake up on Monday morning, I'm inclined to want to extend the weekend just a little bit. And maybe this will help me move on from that. Maybe this will be something that helps.
Yeah. I'm going to be a bridge between your weekend and your week, you know, just to help. It'll help. It's kind of the connection of the two. And I think that's really, I've been called worse. I'll be a bridge. We're going to do something fun, I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Here today. I want to talk a little bit about free agent, because next week at this time.
Oh boy.
There's going to be a lot of tampering happening. We might be talking about waiting on these early signings. We'll be recording before the like window opens. I don't know. The timing next week is always hard to do anything other than just live. It's all you got.
There's so fast. That's the legal tampering, right?
Yeah, technically.
Legal tampering is not tampering.
No, I think you just tamper. It's touching. Illegal touching?
Yeah. I mean, that's like saying, well, it's legal crime. Well,
yeah.
No, like legal crime is not crime. Legal tampering is not tampering.
We can do any version of tampering here, because what we're gonna do is play a little bit of because I'm interested in the Bengals' approach here between top tier, middle tier, and the bottom tier of free agency, where we've seen them have a ton of success in the middle tier. typically stray away from the top, except the Orlando Brown exception last year kind of happened. So I want to, let's do this. Look, we're going to draft four players. One, I have Randy Mueller's positional free agency rankings. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't agree with these. We're just going to use them as a point of reference. That's what it is. So we've got them in front of us. It's from something he did last week on free agent positional rankings. It's each position at 10 spots at that position. So I'll say you can pick one from the group that's ranked between 1 and 3. You can pick one that's ranked between 4 and 7. And you can pick two that's in the group that's ranked between 8 and 10 at any position. And we'll each end up with four players. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but yeah. We can't draft the same player.
No, okay. We are stealing from each other, and we can do it in snake style. So for that reason, what's the most important area to hit first? You don't want to not necessarily go to the top if you feel like you're worried about not getting the mid-tier guy that's key to your plan. I don't want to throw it off.
Yeah, so let me just preface this exercise by informing you and the audience that I was told I was doing this about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And right when I was getting to work, and then I got to work, and first I got into a fight with a Twitter troll who doesn't like you. And then I just got back from vacation, so I had to deal with the whole, oh, you're back. Oh, you still work here. And then I had to record something. So my prep, this isn't the same as when I like devote 5 hours into the spreadsheet thing we do, the mock all season.
Sometimes you have notes in different color pens.
So if I'm given the benefit of like having more time to think about this by the time you and I do our little on-air back and forth, my draft approach may differ, but I still enjoy doing this. And
no, I appreciate it. You're right. Sprung it on you a little bit, but I still appreciate that.
Of course.
So let's see. I'll go first. Okay. And then we'll snake two to you. Does that sound all right? Are you comfortable?
Okay. It's a two-person snake.
It's a two-person snake. Since we can pick from 1 through 3, and now this is the reality of this happening, I don't know, but in this exercise, amongst all the top-tier players, anybody, people probably know where I'm going because I've done this before. Mm-hmm. If you're just saying, take money out of it, you can get anyone that's in the top tier, I'm taking Christian Wilkins. Is he the one?
He's the guy.
He's the one, yeah.
Damn you.
He's just the position you want. He's the age that you want. He's the athlete that you want. He's been a captain, the personality. He checks every box. I mean, he might be the highest paid free agent that happens this year. Mm-hmm. So that would wipe him. Bengals aren't going to get into some bidding war. That's where they won't do. So maybe this is probably out of the question, but if I'm given a choice and I could take from the whole board of top threes, I'm going with Christian Wilkins and saying I'll run with that. That feels like it fixes so many things for me.
Yeah. Well, that was what I was going to do.
I'm sorry I took your one move.
We didn't coin flip to see who was going to go first. So
no, yeah, I just took it.
And you talk about like checking every box. Had his best season in like every pass rush metric in 2023. So I mean, just fits exactly what they need, right? 28 years old, in the prime of his career, has long been good against the run. I think his 3-year Pro Football Focus grade 81.1, but this year he really took it up a notch in getting after the passer. And so as I was thinking about need and profile of player that I'm looking for, he was it.
Do you want to have him? You can have him, and then I'll take 2 and 3. If you want him.
No, we can't change the rules.
Okay. I mean, I just made it up. We can always change the rules.
I guess so. It's your little game.
Yeah, whatever you feel is fair. I should have asked you what you want. What you prefer? That's fine. No, if you want
No.
I've got other thoughts.
All right. So I can't have Christian Wilkins, but no. I feel better about myself. Like I at least get the validation of, well, I'm not that dumb because Paul was going to take the same guy I was going to take. So now I feel smarter. I feel better about myself, even if I'm not going to win this little process.
You know,
so
that
thank
kind
you.
Of confidence is the type of thing that makes a very stable bridge
right
between the weekend and Mondays. Just so you know, you need that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll do this, and because everybody, this is what everybody's been pining for since New Year's Eve night. Give me Chris Jones.
Wow.
I mean, like,
wow.
You know, it's the splash. Yeah. He's older.
Yeah, you're right. He's up there. If money's no object.
Money's no object. I'm trying to win a title this year. He was the best player in the field in the Super Bowl, and he defects from Kansas City, even though I'm sure to the chagrin of his agent, he's, you know, told the owner of the Chiefs at the parade, like, hey, I'm coming back. Pay me. Whatever. Okay, so I get the guy who was the best player at the Super Bowl, who still looks like he has a lot left in the tank, and we make them weaker in the process. I'm more inclined to sort of wave off what this may cost down the road because of age, because I'm very much in a win now window, and we're doing this without a spreadsheet. We're not doing math. The money doesn't matter. So fine. Let's go ahead. Let's do it. Give me Chris Jones.
All right. I like that. You're up again.
Yeah.
So you've got 1 4-7 spot and 2 8-10 spots to fill, and you've got one more pick.
All right. So that was my top tier guy.
Yeah, that was your top tier guy. You got to fill out the other three spots.
So then I went Kyle Duggar.
Okay.
Safety.
Yeah, there you go.
So part of this is a demonstration of a lack of faith in Dax Hill. Just call it what it is, right? Mm-hmm. But that's earned. That's deserved. Also, if this works, now maybe Dax can play a position where he can be better. And if the worst thing is I have Dax Hill, Jordan Battle, and Kyle Duggar in my three safeties. Look, they were last in the league in explosive plays allowed. Safety stunk last year. The Nick Scott thing didn't work. Am I really, in a year where I'm trying to win the whole thing, am I really just going to roll the dice and assume that an extra year of seasoning, another camp, more experience is going to add up to significantly better safety play? I don't think so. And all I heard when they drafted Dax Hill was, well, he's the chess piece for Lou Anarumo. They could play him anywhere. He loves versatility. And so, okay, cool. Dax, guess what? You're going to be the guy that we move all over the place. I think this is really good value for where he's ranked here. So Kyle Duggar is my second. I'm going heavy on defense here early, is my second round two-person snake draft choice.
No, I like that. I like that pick. And I'm with you. I have landed in the Dax Hill conversation. I'm not trusting it. I'm not trusting it. I need a stronger either insurance policy. And if you're moving Dax Hill, fine. And that's part of that, then fine. Mm-hmm. And I get the most out of Dax Hill somewhere, figure out wherever else that is. But, you know, I feel like second year, 1,000 snaps is enough of a sample size for me to make my call there. And they certainly sounded like a team that has made a similar call when you heard the way they talked last week. Like, that's the way it felt. And I think I'm on the same side. If that doesn't go their way and they do end up going in on that, fine. There's a great chance that that works. I'm not saying it doesn't. It's just at this point, that's me. I'm out.
Yeah. Two things. Number one, I mean, I do think that to a degree, all of the months long chatter about T. Higgins and then the, you know, all the discussion about Joe Burrow and his injury, I think that has for a lot of folks masked what was this team's biggest issue last year, which was the explosive play thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of youth on defense, and Lou Anarumo is a terrific defensive coordinator, but this team, if we're ranking reasons why their record wasn't as good as we would like, number one would be Joe wasn't healthy. Number two for me was they just gave up too many explosive plays. I cannot roll the dice on the same group of dudes who allowed all those explosive plays. And number two is, just for the sake of those who don't have the chart in front of us, Duggar is top tier of tier two, right?
Yes.
He's fifth among safeties. So if you're looking at it going, wait, but what? There are some other guys who are ranked higher. This guy was of the we had to shave off the first four guys. Yes. He was ranked fifth. That's at the very top of tier two. I can live with that.
Yeah. I have thought the direction you would go here is, who's the next Von Bell? When they found Von Bell, who was coming off his rookie contract and had this reputation for what being a leader and a captain and incredibly intelligent player back there when they brought him in. Who's that now? The same way they're probably trying to say, who's that DJ Reader? They're trying to recreate those two moves potentially here, this free agency period. Who are those guys? Is that net? Can you go 2 for 2 doing that again to replace what you have lost or potentially are losing in both those spots? All right, so I've got two picks now. I've already got Wilkins, so I don't need to go back there because I was really interested in potentially having Leonard Williams available to me in the second tier as to plug in. So, but just dropping the both of those wouldn't be the worst. I'm not totally against it, but I like the Mekhi Becton plan. If it were to come to fruition. And so I'm gonna go with Becton here because he's not gonna there's good value. You're not gonna have to pay a ton. It opens you up to not feel like you have to take a tackle at 18, but know that there's a pretty good chance that you do. And now your line, your top three tackles, really feels like a strength if you do, and that's so important. The Frank Pollock connection, I like that. And you know, there's been a lot of talk about Tyron Smith and you know, the Pollock connection there, and that's all valid, and I'd be listening to that too. He's in the top tier. If you could find a way to make that work, nothing wrong with that. Do the same thing last year. You know what? Mm-hmm. Get the good players in here and talk to the guys first about where they're playing. You learned that lesson with Jonah last year. Like, maybe Orlando Brown moves right. Maybe Orlando stays left. Maybe Tyron goes right. I don't know, but they're both good, and they both could do both if you really wanted them to. I'd listen to that plan. That said, Mekhi is maybe the obviously more projection lighter version of that. That I think you could be comfortable plugging him in and pairing him with a first round tackle that you know there's going to be somebody you probably like available. I really like that plan potentially. Mm-hmm. So I'll take him there and plug him in at right tackle.
Okay.
I'm not going to use plug and play. I'm just plugging. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't want to. I know you don't want that. So I'm just trying to make sure.
Yeah, we agreed we're striking that from our vernacular, correct?
Yeah, I heard it a lot. Not everybody, there very few are. We're amongst the strong, the few. My next pick. So now I've filled my top two tiers. So now I'm dealing with the bottom level. So I know you've already taken safety. So I'm gonna assume you're not gonna do it again. So I know I'll get my guy last. So I'm gonna save my safety. And I'm gonna take Curtis Samuel. I'm just, you know what? A fun player in the slot that's never really had a good quarterback, but tons of skill. And I'm not necessarily signing him to a long-term deal. I can draft a guy too and load up at the receiver position. I just like who he is as a player. I think that you can get a lot out of him. Again, value. And so I'm going to take Curtis Samuel and know that again, that frees me up on day two. I don't feel like I have to go in. I'd love to. I love this receiver class. But you're taking care of that, and the draft can backload, and that's cool. And so I would and it also opens you up to take an X receiver for T. Higgins' future there if you want to. That gives you even more depth in the draft and not worry as much about what's happening with the slot. So I would go that way. I would take I'd take Samuel.
All right, so I'm gonna go back to the secondary. So like the very first name when I did this and I started looking at corners, and you're looking at the lower tiers, is Xavien Howard, right? And how do you not at least think about him? There's a Lou Anarumo connection. He's had a very good career. He's also 31 and had a foot issue last season. So then I'm looking at the other guys that are lower on the tier. I'm being clumsy with my words here, and I either have a guy who's played for like 6 teams in 5 years or a guy who's played for the same team for the last 6. I'm looking for a veteran corner. I'm looking for a guy that might still have some gas in the tank. I'm looking for another version of maybe not what Chidobe Awuzie was, but just somebody who takes his spot. So I'm going Trey Herndon here. Okay. Who is ranked 10th on the corners on this particular list.
Adding corner depth. No one's going to have a problem with that. And
yeah.
And I'm certainly curious to see if they go at corner in this draft again and just keep loading up there, keep loading up with young players. I just, again, you know, so much youth, so much complaining about youth. It feels like they'd be more willing to add there in the secondary in free agency because they're looking for experience. They're looking for players that know what they're doing more than looking for more rookie mistakes and more development. They have development. They have development everywhere to do that. I think they would want more veterans. So I get the philosophy big time.
Well, and like there's a lot of youth. Can each of those guys perform even better in 2024? Yes. Will all of them? You know, that's a different question.
Yes.
If they all do, they have a chance to have a terrific secondary. Like we all individually love the upside of each one of those guys back there, but we're asking a unit to take this collective step forward. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of some of the questions we have about the Cincinnati Reds this year, right? Like, boy, so many of these guys, each one of them might be so much better this year, but will all of them? I don't know. The answer is yes. They might run away with the National League Central. And I kind of feel the same about the corner group. They've always had a guy who they had Eli Apple, who didn't really bounce around the league, but this was his third team. Say what you want about the punchline he turned into. He gave him some good moments. Is Trey Herndon as good as, or not as good as Eli Apple? I don't know. But if he ends up being like your fourth corner, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And if one of those corners you has ends up not really taking that step forward, that's a really nice insurance policy. So I was pretty comfortable making this pick, even though Xavier Howard just jumped off the page for rather obvious reasons. I don't have that much overall interest in a 31-year-old guy coming off an injury. And this league tends to turn its back on corners that hit 30. So that's where Howard is. So I settled on Trey Herndon.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. I feel like the ship has sailed a little bit. I have zero interest in employing 30-year-old cornerbacks. It's just not what it is. All right, you can wrap up here. One more from the bottom tier if you've got somebody.
Yosh Nijman from the Packers. Okay.
All right, you're going back to the to the trenches.
Going to the tackle, right tackle spot. So for what it's worth, Jonah Williams is ranked ahead of this player. But look, I think we would be surprised, maybe as surprised as we were last year when they didn't take a tight end, if they didn't take a tackle. And I jumped in toward the end of what you and Dave were talking about. But I mean, look, there might be every reason in this class to take a right tackle at 18. And maybe that guy ends up being the starter. I want another option there just in case that can happen. I want another option there just in case. You know what? They surprise us and don't take one until a little bit later, and that guy's more of a project and not ready to play. We all have kind of agreed Jonah's not going to come back. Okay, so can I find a, for lack of a better way of putting it, a poor man's version of Jonah Williams? This is what this feels like to me. And if the guy that I draft beats him out, pretty good depth for an offensive line. You and I have talked about this a lot. No health issues last year. Chances are there'll be some health issues this year. So reliable guy that can play right tackle and maybe win the job. If not, that's a pretty damn good backup. I'll admit that I looked at the running back group very, very closely because like you have, we've both lobbied for them to change the makeup of the position. I'll be honest with you. I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire is down there. Maybe that's who you're going to take. I couldn't talk myself into it. I'll use the draft to address running back. I am cutting Joe Mixon for what it's worth, but I'm pretty comfortable with addressing right tackle here.
Yeah, I would be fine. You know, Devin Singletary is down here in that list too. I think that to me, the free agent portion, which, you know, there's just so many running backs. I mean, there's so many running backs in the draft. There's so many running backs in free agency. There's going to be more that are going to be put on the market. It's just so oversaturated. Like, you know, you're going to get value to someone to come play with Joe Burrow, who's got some skills or is a good draft pick. Like, there's just so many. So for that reason, I think, you know, you would move on from Mixon and you'd be looking to add one into that. They still haven't replaced, forget Mixon. They still haven't replaced Samaje Perine, and they still have, and then they would potentially need to replace what Mixon gave them. So there's two spots. I like the Perine role coming from free agency because you don't have to worry about someone who you don't know how they'll be able to handle NFL protection. So if I was picking running back here, I would go with, probably with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just because he's done that. He's done it on big stages. He knows Burrow so closely. They're so tight. We talked about that. It just makes sense. He'd be cheap. All of those things make sense. I know I said money, you know, doesn't mean anything here, and I keep making value picks. I'm an idiot. but I like, you know, because you would make a very great argument for Devin Singletary, but I'd have Clyde in there, but that's not what I'm doing, because I didn't do safety yet, and I do want to do that too. I have Geno Stone. You know, he played really well for Baltimore, and I can't get past the way people talked about the interception that basically won the game in week two.
Yeah,
about how it was so smart and he outsmarted Joe Burrow, and man, it was so instinctual, and how much they love in that type of intelligence and savvy amongst safeties, and the idea of anyone outsmarting Joe Burrow to win a division game and pluck from your rival, boy, that feels like the type of player that they would really lean into there at safety. That said, he's had tackling issues, and you know, we know what happened there. We saw the Nick Scott thing blow up in a lot of ways for that reason. So there's a worry on that side of it, but that's why he's down at this bottom part. But the rest of it, in the passing game and the understanding of things, I think really opens up a lot of possibilities for him to be a nice upgrade to hit them in that area they feel like they were weak last year.
I think it's worth pointing out, you know, there are Bengals guys who were Bengals on this list, and I operated under the assumption that I was not taking any of those players.
Yeah,
correct?
Okay. That's a safe assumption. Yeah.
All right. So
unless you really wanted to, but
right.
We're making it up.
We're making it up. Yeah. Our own rules. So if, you know, there are, you theoretically could do your own exercise and pick Bengals players. I operated under the assumption that those guys were either, you know, like a Drew Sample. He's probably coming back anyway, but I'm not using one of these four on a guy who was here last year.
No. So You've got Chris Jones, Kyle Duggar, Trey Herndon, and the Green Bay tackle.
Yeah, we got Chris Jones doing his own. I think Charles Haley did this, right? Did Charles Haley do a three-peat? His own personal three-peat?
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so well, that'll be the story of the season. Chris Jones, his own personal three-peat.
Yes. You said Charles Haley did this, and I always go into stories I've heard about Charles Haley. And
really?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. But no, that's fine.
Can that be one of your podcast things Paul has heard that he doesn't really want to talk about that I squeeze out of him?
I need to have Jeff Perlman on and he can talk about his Cowboys book. I'd let him say it. The reporting that was done. Feel free to go read his book on the Cowboys. It's fantastic. All right, Mo. Great stuff. Way to be on the fly. Yeah, just, you know, I expect nothing less, pulling it out on the fly. Are you feeling like you already want to like redo it tomorrow afternoon?
Kinda.
Yeah.
But what makes me happy, you know, you have me on every year when you do the mock draft, and you know, you invite Jeff Hobson and Jay and James Rapine, and I'm always really happy when one of those guys or when you have somebody that I'm going to pick. So I'm actually happier that the Christian Wilkins thing turned out the way it did, because now I feel like, you know what? I'm not that dumb.
Yeah.
Like if Paul took him first, then my own little 20-minute homework here was validated. So I've walked away from this exercise. I don't know if the listeners have gained anything, but I have.
Well, or maybe we're both dumb. And that's also possible, but I think, you know, and I admit, I don't know how much of a reality any of this even is, but there's that we were kind of pulling reality away to address players and strategy and some of the value of some of the middle to lower tiers in free agency as that starts next week. Next week, we'll be on the fly. Talk about on the fly. Next week, we'll be on the fly.
Oh, boy. We'll be on the fly. And like, if Chris Jones is your plan B,
yeah,
as it had to be for me, pretty damn good.
Yeah. Maybe I should have taken Chris Jones. I'm just trying to win title. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. Mo, appreciate it. I will see you tomorrow afternoon on ESPN 1530.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Mo.
Yep.
All right. Mo Egger, a good time as always.
A lot of figuring out who's dumber there. That was, yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah, dumbs don't lie. Maybe we should change that.
Yeah, because I'm dumb. There's no doubt about that.
Dumb. What was the trilogy of that, of Dumb and Dumber? Wasn't there like
there was
the dumbest? And, it was because it dumb was Dumb and Dumberer, yeah, right. And then there was another one, wasn't there? I'm blanking.
They brought
on
back.
Yeah, I should have known. I gave no credence to Dumb and Dumberer. I was like, I'm not.
Yeah,
don't take a perfect movie,
right,
and ruin it. You know, I mean, that
with
just
these guys that weren't Jim Carrey. No. And Jeff Daniels. It was just wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. So, all right. But great thanks to Mo, and great to have him still a part of things as we keep going forward with the new deal. We can wrap up with some Arby's here and be done with it. But do you have any, Dave, do you have any good stories on deck or something that you've been seeing?
I mean, I think we have to mention that we got to see Boomer's birthday. Yeah, and not Boomer Esiason, all due respect.
Yeah. Boomer Esiason.
We decided to hit the Mavs Pacers game when we went to Indy for the combine, and it was Boomer the Mascot's birthday. And what was it we found so egregious about this, Paul?
So there's a couple of things. There's actually, I have a list. Hold on, the scroll hits the floor.
I mean, we love Boomer. Like, let's. Not lost in our complaints.
Yeah, we love Boomer. But yeah, so the one thing is that for his birthday, they invited all the rival mascots.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine having a birthday party and calling all your biggest enemies to come party with you at your home game? Like, that didn't make any sense. What is Bernie from the Miami Heat doing here?
I know.
Who invited him? I would be
Benny.
Livid.
Benny the Bull was there,
Benny
but
Bull needs to the get crowd, out of town.
The crowd loathed Bongo the Buck, loathed Bongo, and Bongo put on a show too. I mean, they did the whole mascot bowling thing. It should have been the Colts mascot. Maybe does IU have a mascot? Can they bring out some sort of effigy of Bobby Knight or something?
Yeah, no, it's look. I mean, look, this is, I felt like that was far too much. But I will say the party went on, man. Yeah. They were celebrating. They were hammering home the birthday. We couldn't have picked really a much better day to be. They had mascot bowling where they just were doing slingshots of them down the court to try to knock over bowling pins. Some of which was, you know, mascot level very dangerous I thought at points but it was the funny part about the combine's a very long week, and because we went up early, all the athletic people are in town for the combine, so we do a whole day of meetings. That's why, you know, Dave, you came up and all the managers are there and everything, and so Monday was a big day. Most people don't come up until Tuesday, but we went in Sunday. That's why we went to that game on Sunday night. And so as the week got longer for me, and we got to Wednesday and to Thursday, and it's just you're up late and you're in the bars and you're up early and there's tons of interviews and you're writing a bunch. It's just every day is insanely exhausting.
Yeah.
I just by the time we got to Wednesday night, you can ask some of the people I was hanging out with. I just kept saying, look, none of you were here for Boomer's birthday. Okay, you don't know what I've been through. You weren't here on Boomer's birthday on Sunday. I was.
Yeah.
I was here. Where were you? Okay. And that kind of became my theme for the week was I want to go home. I was here on Boomer's birthday, and you don't know what I've seen. I saw Bernie and Bongo.
It all seemed fun back then until you got through your marathon of several days and then wishing you had never been there for Boomer's birthday. Yeah.
There's no question. So that's an excellent an excellent one. I'll say this because I shared a number of combine stories on the other podcast, but not that one. So I'm glad you brought that up. I did want to just talk about this launch, and like this, it's taken a lot of time behind the scenes to get there's a lot that goes into all of it to get it set up, and keeping it quiet has been very hard. In case you can't tell by my just like month long of weird drops that I've done, it's been, I've been so excited by every piece as we've kind of built it behind the scenes to get it ready for this day. From the Bengal Boys to, you know, the all the artwork to everybody that's come on board and meeting with Mark Shalafoe and being so excited about that show, and you and Mo and Jay, all of it has been its own little piece and getting everything set up. I've been so excited, and it's been so hard to not talk about it. But the one thing that was really hard for me to keep quiet about was an idea that never came to fruition, but I need to talk about the fact that I didn't get it done. And that was, if you remember the Bronson Arroyo and Chris Welsh JTM commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Together from back again. In the day. Yeah. Together again. I loved it so much. And I so wanted to get Bronson to come meet me and Jay in the Reds dugout and Jay and I eat hoagies and other JTM products and Bronson sing to us and have that video be the announcement. I wanted it so badly. And I was like, one, there's a big, big group that's not going to know what that is. Okay.
That's true. Sometimes.
And then as I got more into it, I was like, I forgot how bad this commercial is. And that's why it was so memorable. But the moment when he goes, beef hoagies, is so good. And I have been walking around my house singing beef hoagies for a month and a half. And I'm positive that my family is considering kicking me out because of it. But
that would have been epic. I wish you had pulled it off.
I just wanted the, at least people to know that I had a good idea that I didn't.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
That's great. I should have that. That should be a thing every week for us, David. Hey, here's the list of good ideas I had that I didn't execute.
I've got some for you. Yeah, that's for sure.
We've all been there. We've all been there. All right, Dave, this was fun. As always, again, so Balds Don't Lie, this version of the Growler Suite, if you will, every Monday now, me and Mo, and then every Wednesday, me and Jay, giving you the our beat writer show, and then every Friday, Hoodie Light with Mark Shalafoe, as we kind of take a little bit of a lighter piece where you guys send in your questions. So make sure you're sending in your questions that you want me to answer throughout the week, and Mark and I will see where you take us on that show, and really look forward to all of that. But thanks to everybody that is following now, coming over from HTPG to the Growler. Subscribe, tell your friends that we've moved in case they haven't seen it. And we're wherever you get your podcasts. It's there. And if you have any problems, thegrowlerpodcast.com is there. You can go and find episodes and links to where you can make sure you're getting connected and keep us in your feed. Watch us on YouTube. We're on YouTube there. You can find that. Just go to the Growler, and you'll find us on YouTube, and you can watch us. You can see how bald we are.
And you can see that we lied because you said we have to take our hats off for it.
And you refused.
I did not.
Yeah. So that's fine. You're allowed. Resistant balds are also allowed. Resistant balds are also balds. I would ask you to just feel free to just let it out. Don't hold back. You know, that's only going to make things worse. But that's okay.
No one needs to see my giant melon.
Just continue to support the Colorado Avalanche.
That's I will. I know. Go Avs. Go Avs.
All right. Appreciate it, Dave. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.